Do you hear any message from the ether beyond, my dear sprite?
Fucking solid, Doc. Could be a mile deep.
Doesn't much matter. If it's more than about 20 feet, we'd never break through. By the looks of the ceiling, anything you move will just bring down another 100 tons of concrete.
Wait a minute. I can feel different air. Not a lot fresher, but different.
Where?
Ryan looked around, trying to detect whatever it was that the woman had felt. But he couldn't sense anything.
I think from over this door here.
It was a sect door like all of the others that they had passed. Ryan had already decided that on their return to the gateway, they'd have to check out every exit with extreme care, just in case they'd missed something. Christy knelt against the bottom of the door, closing her eyes to concentrate. Her long red hair seemed to caress the pale gray metal of the door.
What are you picking up?
Quake's pushed this one off the hinges. It's just sort of hanging here. If we shift it, like Ryan said, we could bring the roof down on top of our heads.
Let me take a look.
Ryan stooped to examine the sect door, finding it exactly as Christy had said. The shifting of the main structure of the redoubt had tipped it away from the hinges, and it was supported only by its own weight. He pushed a hand against it and felt it move.
Take a look, JB.
The armorer tested it with a gentle shove, then eased his shoulder against it. He looked up at the others.
Reckon a good heave and it'll just fall in.
Then what?
Then one of two things happens. We can get through and find a way out of here into the rest of the place. Or we all get crushed.
Make it the first option, JB, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Everyone else back down the passage. No point in all of us getting flattened. Me and JB will do it.
For a moment, Ryan thought that Christy was going to argue with this order, but she simply laid her hand on his arm and kissed him softly on the lips.
Don't get squashed, lover. You'd lose a lot of your charm that way.
As the other four moved out of sight, Ryan and JB knelt together on the floor.
You and me again, huh?
Like old times with a traitor. One day we'll get the short straw. We've been bucking against the odds for too long.
Nah, not us. We're immortal.
Then let's do it. First sign of trouble, you know what steps to take.
Yep, damn long ones.
On three?
On three.
Three!
The four companions burst from their position around the corner.
Ryan!
They dashed back along the corridor, seeing a cloud of white dust and two spectral figures at its center.
Ryan!
We're all right. Stay back a minute. Let the dust settle. Make sure nothing else is coming down.
They waited, seeing the dark gap in the wall where the sector had been. A few more shards of concrete tumbled from the cracked ceiling, but the structure seemed sound.
All right, come on. Slow and easy. And don't knock into anything.
It was a bitter disappointment, once they were through into a different section of the redoubt, to find that the air was only a little less stale than in the corridor they'd just left.
Still smells like this store's been long closed.
Yeah, not a touch of clean outdoors, is there? Means it's been recirculating all this time. Surprised it hasn't all vanished up its own ass.
At least the damage doesn't seem so bad in this passageway, and the lights still work.
Ryan glanced up, and suddenly noticed that there were more of the festoons of red and green wire looped along the roof.
JB?
Yeah, I seen it. Follow the red and green road.
Ryan had never encountered a redoubt that had been more totally cleared. There was nothing left. They moved from the corridor into open sections of the fortress, through echoing rooms several hundred feet long that had probably been either storage or living quarters. Not a scrap of paper remained, not a cigarette butt or gum wrapper, nothing at all during the next 25 minutes of searching.
I must confess that I am feeling somewhat wearied.
Damn, not even a plan left on a wall.
I just don't like this bad air. But after 100 years, I suppose it's no surprise, is it?
If we don't find something or a way out real soon, then we'll just have to go back and face that locked door. We'll probably have to face it sometime anyway. It's our only way of getting away from this redoubt.
They reached what was obviously a major junction, which branched out into half a dozen different passages.
Look up there, Ryan. The booby trap wires only continue along one passageway.
And it goes upward.
I'll take a look.
Could I remain here while you go ahead on a short reconnaissance?
No, we stick together. But take five if you like, Doc.
I would be obliged, Ryan.
Dead end!
Fire blast. Best turn around and head for the gateway.
Shit! My feet are killing me, and I'm hungry, and I'm tired, and I want out of this damned warren.
We all do.
There was a side turning coming up here. Worth a look?
Sure. As long as it's on our way down.
It took them another 15 minutes of backtracking to find the side turn. Disgruntled, tired, and not a little anxious, no one said a word as they walked down the corridor.
Hallelujah! There's a sign on this wall.
What's it say?
Emergency evac supplies.
Could be some food. Chins up and shoulders back, friends.
It was an area of the redoubt consisting of two smallish storerooms and another larger room, which contained a dozen beds. Each bed had a hard square of folded gray blankets set on top, and a wall cupboard held 12 plates, knives, forks, and spoons, and 12 mugs. Basic cooking utensils were available for use on a stove that stood in the corner of the room. And there was an emergency water supply and a locked cabinet containing medical supplies. Jack had disappeared into the first storeroom.
Self-heats!
Like everyone in the group, he'd sampled more than his share of self-heat cans. Generally, they only raised the temperature of the contents to a tepid sludge, and it was often difficult to tell what you were eating.
Anything else?
Yeah, packets of dried soup, cans, beans, and stuff.
Best eat and rest.
Guess so, then a wreck. We still gotta find out if there's a way out of here.
Nothing in the second storeroom. I was hoping for blasters and some Plasex, but there's nothing at all. Not even mouse shit.
And this fetid atmosphere. I feel rather like someone caught in the sarcophagus of a long-dead pharaoh. I had not thought before how wonderful is the open sky and the clean air. Even the foul air of parts of Deathlands is better than this arid, barren filth.
When it came to examining the range of food on offer, nobody felt all that hungry. Over the years, some of the cans had blown and split open, spilling their contents in sticky black rivulets. Others showed ominous signs of bulging and rusting. Many of the labels had fallen off and lay in brittle rectangular slices on the shelves and on the floor. Everyone settled for soup. JB heated a dozen cans, stirring them together in a large pan. It was a mix of tomato, vegetable, sweet corn, and split pea, and it lined the stomach and raised the group's spirits a little.
Hope none of us get salmonella or listeria or any of those poisoning bugs. Wouldn't fancy trying to cope with a serious gastric attack in a place like this.
I've eaten worse. If I was going to get sick from bad food, it'd have happened 20 years ago.
But these cans, sitting around for 100 years, only the good Lord knows what's been breeding away in them.
The instant coffee was somewhat better. It tasted like burned acorns, but it was hot, and there were plenty of artificial sweeteners to make it more palatable. After a second cup, everyone rested a while, stretched out on the inflexible beds. Ryan closed his eye, letting his thoughts wander. He knew that this was a bad one. Facing the very real possibility of being trapped and dying in the redoubt set him thinking. Memories of the traitor brought back the years that he'd ridden and fought his way through the Deathlands. And not much of it was worth the pain of the mother who bore him. So much killing. There'd been good times and some good friends, most of them rotting now beneath the earth. But only in the months since he'd met Christy Roth had his life begun to have any perceptible shape or meaning. Now there was something for him personally to fight and survive for. Ryan knew that she wanted to stop and set up a home and raise a family, and he wanted that as well. It was just a question of trying to find the right place and the right time. But right now, it looked like it might all end in this vast concrete mausoleum. There was enough food and drink to last them for years and years if they doled it out carefully. But what would be the point of that? If they were trapped, then sooner or later death was inevitable. Nobody was going to come bursting through and rescue them. Ryan knew he couldn't wait for the last feeble choking breaths. It would be better to take a 9mm bullet. At least he and Christy could go together. Something he'd once read came to Ryan as he slipped away into a restful sleep. I pay my price to live with myself on the terms that I will.
Ryan? Ryan, wake up. Bad news. I've been with Jack in every direction. Every possible passage is blocked by huge earthfalls.
No openings?
Jack says he reckons one of the falls could be movable. Says he'd like to try and clear it out. It's the highest corridor we found. If he's right, then it could be close to the surface. Whatever that.